are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Memorial Day, May 31st, Jazz review of Game 3 after film watching and preview of Game 4 edition. It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. We'll dig into a bunch of stuff for you today. We probably could have done this as a live show today, but I didn't think about that. I just finished rewatching Game 3 a little later than I had planned, but excited to get it to you and get your thought, share my thoughts and get you ready for Game 4. Happy Memorial Day to everybody as well. For those that have members of your family that are honored, passed in the military, we send our thoughts to you and our thanks as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from iOS App Store. Find one of our Locker Rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. I know Sean Coleman, Locked On Grizzlies, does a bunch of Locker Rooms. Should be fun to catch up. All right, here's my thoughts on this ball game. The biggest takeaway I have, the swings in the game, frankly, are actually largely predicated on effort. I thought the Jazz came out with a better effort early. Royce O'Neal made a bunch of plays, got loose balls. Jazz ran, had super good pace. The Grizzlies, I thought, had more effort to open the fourth quarter. They got the offensive rebounds. They got the 50-50 balls, to their credit. And then they played with more pace, jogging out on the open floor and got going. Usually, I feel like games are swung by make or miss. I'm usually kind of a big believer in the idea that it's a make or miss league, and that sometimes make or miss dictates runs. Like, you miss three in a row that you should have made. Next thing you know, they're on a 7-0 run. And this game, I actually thought, was a little bit more effort-based, which is, you know, I think a good reminder to the Jazz that the Memphis Grizzlies are good enough that if the Jazz don't come with peak effort, they're going to beat you. It's the playoffs. The Jazz are also better than the Grizzlies. Like, they're just, they are. Like, that's what tells by the record and the talent. And the Jazz are better than the Grizzlies. And so, therefore, as, you know, if the Jazz play their game and execute like they're supposed to, the Jazz should win. And a win tonight in Game 4 would be mammoth. The other thing that jumps out to me is that Memphis is really, really, really well coached. And so the Jazz offense is largely based on getting an advantage, breaking the defense down, swinging it around, and taking advantage of almost what I would say is a defensive mistake. Like, get them scrambling, make them make a mistake. I was listening to J.J. Redick with Mike Conley on J.J. Redick's podcast, and J.J. Redick said, gosh, man, you have to like make, I was watching this, we have to make five perfect rotations to be able to stop you. Memphis actually makes those five perfect rotations all the time. They're incredibly well connected. They have some not very good defensive players. Ja Morant's not a very good defensive player. Jaren Jackson, frankly, is not a very good defensive player. And Grayson Allen's not terrible, actually. I'll give Grayson Allen credit. He has become a much, much better defensive player than he was when he played for the Jazz. So the Jazz are able to actually beat some guys and take advantage. It's not like they just have great defensive players. And I'm not utterly convinced, frankly, that Dylan Brooks is that good a defensive player. I think Dylan Brooks, with all of his stuff, hurt them. Like, some of the big plays of the game, he's overshifting. He's the only one in this series on Memphis who I've seen make what I would call a defensive mistake. In game two, he just kind of lost his bearings and left a wide open three for Donovan early in the game. Mike Conley gets an important open three in the fourth quarter where he overshifts to cut off a Bojan Bogdanović drive, leaving Conley. I can't imagine that's what he's supposed to do. The fouls on the three-point shooters. I'm actually not convinced that Brooks is the one is having that great a defensive series right now. And in fact, Donovan is unfazed by Dylan Brooks. That, I think, is what's going to get interesting in this series to keep an eye on, is that Donovan is unfazed by Dylan Brooks. So when you look at right now, if you look at the numbers, when Dylan Brooks is guarding someone in this series, the Jazz numbers are interesting because Donovan wasn't bothered by Brooks in the regular season either. And in the so far in this series, when Dylan Brooks is guarding Joe Ingles, Joe is 2 for 3. When Donovan Mitchell is being guarded by Dylan Brooks, Donovan is 5 for 7 from the field, 4 for 6 from three, and 5 of 7 from the free throw line. Mike Conley is only 2 of 5. Jordan Clarkson's only 1 of 4. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see them open the night with Dylan Brooks guarding Mike Conley, with Kyle Anderson guarding Donovan Mitchell, and Ja Morant hidden on Royce O'Neal. The Jazz have gone after Ja Morant a lot in this series. And I expect the first adjustment that we see in game four is Ja Morant guarding Royce O'Neal. And in the three games, he's actually guarded Royce O'Neal more than anyone else. Mike Conley, 6 of 12, 3 of 6 when guarded by Morant. Clarkson's 5 of 9. Bogdanovich, who they tried to hide Morant on for a while, went 3 of 3 on him. So look for that. I would suspect that that's the matchup. And so Kyle Anderson and his length ends up guarding Donovan Mitchell to open up this ballgame. And they've done that very little. He's only guarded him in about 10 possessions so far. And Donovan is just 3 of 9 shooting in those possessions. So that's the Jazz made Grayson Allen and Ja Morant defend a tremendous amount in this basketball game until finally Taylor Jenkins took Ja Morant and just started hiding in places so he wouldn't have to see him. And I think that's a huge part of it. And frankly, you're asking Morant so much offensively, maybe you can hide him defensively. Keep an eye on that. The key to this, by the way, is Joe Ingles. That if they're going to start hiding, they hided Ja Morant on Joe Ingles at one point, and Joe Ingles has got to get involved in the pick and roll. Joe Ingles was way out of sorts in this basketball game. He's way out of sorts in this series right now, frankly. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's injured. I might almost argue that he looks like he's got a back problem the way he's moving. He just doesn't look like he's just still worn out from all those games of having to be the primary ball handler. But some strange things where Joe Ingles is waving the ball off. They put any pressure on him in the backcourt, he signals to throw it into the other guy. There was a play right before he got taken out of the game. I don't think he returned for the rest of the night, where he brings the ball up. He's not very assertive. He passes to Niang. Joe's like literally supposed to cut to the corner and like just signals to Niang not to go to him. George runs the play, goes to Joe in the corner. He gets it ripped away by Kyle Anderson. I don't know if he's just not right. And we need him to have a big game tonight, because the way they're going to shift defensively and what they're going to do defensively is going to leave Joe with opportunities to run pick and roll and to get things going. And the Jazz are going to need that. And I think JC is the other one. This is a sign of like how good the Jazz are with their depth, is the fact that they, you know, this is what we've done all season long, is that the Jazz have been able to not have their primary guys or not have everyone going at the same time and still be a great offensive team. So, you know, you look at the series so far and Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles, I would say, are off. Joe Ingles his numbers are actually 7 of 14 from three, but I think we'd all agree he's not Joe Ingles right now. He's not impacting the game with his pick and roll or anything. And Jordan Clarkson's 3 of 21 from three, shooting 37%. He is 14 to 14 at the line. So you'd expect he gets going. Joe's numbers look fine. His impact is not what I would expect out of him. And his feet movement on defense he doesn't look right to me. I hope he's all right, because we certainly need him. All right, so those are some of my opening thoughts of what I think we'll see in game three and what we saw in game one. I've got a bunch more I'll get into. I want to talk about Jonas Valanciunas. He's just a huge impact on this series. And I think we saw something in the third quarter, and some talk about pace as well. This Monday edition show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, also located in Logan. They are proud to support those who serve. Military discount, $500 off any new Chevrolet. Right now, that's $500 off any new Chevy at Murdoch Chevy. in honor of all of those who serve us in the military. Also, $4,000 off MSRP on the 2021 Silverado LT. That is an incredible truck. The Chevy truck lineup with the Colorado and the Silverado is unmatched with their incredible frame as well. We've got some great deals on the Equinox. The Blazer and the Trailblazer are changing up the SUV world with their sporty looks. And the Volt, is a kind of stunner out of their electric car lineup. So go check it out. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip6.com. Grip6, the greatest belts alive, the Utah company that has made, and that's all I wear is my Grip6, whether it's golfing, whether it's to a game like tonight where it's a road game and I'm just wearing jeans, or whether it's Wednesday night, game five, closeout game, hopefully when the Jazz, I'll be wearing my nice ninja belt. And mix and match the buckles with the straps and get a match for any scenario. The wool socks and the wallets are great. Check them out. But the belts are amazing. Engineered without holes, flaps, or bulk. Grip 6 belts. Quality craftsmanship guaranteed. A Utah company with an unlimited lifetime warranty. Check it out at grip6.com. Promo code locked on gets you 15% off. Peace is the key for the Jazz. They played with great, great peace in this ballgame and played early in the shot clock and got things. When Memphis is getting, you know, into the half court, it's intuitively it's a more difficult concept. But what the Jazz are really doing right now is they are playing with fabulous, fabulous pace. And I think that's, you know, important to look at. If we kind of break it down by shot clock and compare what we're doing in the first three games of this series compared to what we did in the regular season, that's important. So let's take a look at this. It's one of the kind of major prep items I'm doing for today. So first of all, shots in the first 4 seconds of the, or from 18 to 22 on the shot clock, in we're only averaging two shots per game right now. Overall shots. Sorry about that. That was 2-point shots. But we are only averaging six shots per game from 18 to 22 on the shot clock right now. So that's in our early offense. This is, and I'll give you what we had in the regular season. And of those six shots, four of them are threes, which we led the league in this. And now we are one of the bottom playoff teams in it. From 15 to 18, we have now taken, now we've taken 15.3 shots, but still that's low for where the rest of the league is. And our threes in that time is up to eight, which is actually pretty high for everybody else in the league. We're just not making, we're at 32%. Let's compare that to the regular season, because this is what, when Quinn Snyder talks about being aggressive, this is what we have done. So we went, in the regular season, from 18 to 22 on the shot clock, we took 11 shots a game, we're down to six. We took seven threes, we're down to four. That's not a great sign for us from the playoffs. This is where we want to make our hay, play this early. We did it early in the ball game, and then it kind of went away, I thought. At least that was my my analysis of it. In the regular season, from 15 to 18 on the shot clock, we took 17 shots a game, and nine of them were threes. So that we're getting a little closer to our regular kind of getting out and going, because we're at 15, so we're two short there and one three short. But if you just look at the first 9 seconds of the shot clock, during the regular season, we were taking 28 of those a game, and now we're taking 21 a game. That's a dramatic drop. We were taking 16 threes, and we're now taking 12. We have got to get back to that early pace that we were playing with. If we get specifically to the last game we played, let's look at those numbers for a second, just on last game, because I wish I had the ability, which I don't, other than just my own personal analysis, to be able to look at last game and by quarter, because that was pretty telling. So last game, in the first 18 to 22 on the shot clock, we took five shots early, and from 15 to 18, so in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock, we then took 16. So we got 21 right on our average for the playoffs. off, not as many early. Of those being threes, this is where we actually did things well early in the clock. We were 5 of 10 on the mid-early, so the 15 to 18 three-point shots. And on the other ones, we were 2 of 4. So we were 7 of 14 on three-point shots in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock against Memphis. That piece that we're has to be what we play with. That we've got to get out. Now, obviously, you got to get stops to get that, but you also just have to be committed to pushing to it. And if you start to think about that, by the way, it means we were, you know, on our other 3-point shots, we were just 12 of 29, but 7 of 14 from 3 in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock. That's when we make our hay. That's when we're, you know, we're a pretty special team is making those kind of plays. And I think that's where, you know, we've got to find a way to keep that up in this game tonight, where energy is going to be a large part of it. But that was obvious in the ball game of what we were doing. Memphis did not execute as well defensively in the first half of that game. They actually made a mistake on the first play of the game. They just don't make many mistakes, and they did. Here are some of the notes I had. Let's see. I want to make sure I had big picture things. Pace. Okay. The other one, sorry, let me get my big picture things and I'll do segment 3. I'll just kind of do my random notes on it. So pace we've hit, as the massive one, the number one adjustment I thought the Memphis Grizzlies were going to make for game 2 is who's guarding who, along the way. The Grizzlies also made some rotation changes in that game, the other night, which I thought were really interesting. Taylor Jenkins is just super good. But you watched that Valanciunas checked out kind of similarly to when Rudy did, and then matched Rudy's minutes in that middle stint, which they did not do in game 1. So that Rudy is now getting, Valanciunas played 34.9 minutes. Rudy played 35.5. And in the first half, they matched minutes entirely. In the second half, then, Taylor Jenkins changed it up and kept Valanciunas out on the floor to have him play when Rudy was off the floor on favors to see what happened, and it worked. They went on a 7-2 run early in that third quarter. The Jazz actually answered an 8-0 run by the end of Valanciunas' run as Rudy split that time. So it's and then Valanciunas came back to open the fourth when Rudy was on the floor in Memphis. That's when Memphis had a ton of success and Valanciunas was great. Now, he may have, excuse me, that's not true. Valanciunas didn't come back until late in the fourth, so I take that back. Memphis went on the run when Valanciunas was off the floor. You know, he might have run Valanciunas differently in that set because he was having such a good open of the third quarter, but I really think he tried to match Rudy's minutes entirely. Rudy did not sit, by the way, from the time he came in the ballgame in the third quarter at his usual 3:19 mark. Rudy played the entire rest of the way. Faves did not come back in the game in the fourth quarter at all. The Jazz were plus 14 when Rudy Gobert was on the floor. So that one's kind of worth watching. And those little substitution patterns, I think Memphis changed a few other aspects of things up on that, and we'll keep an eye on what they do here. And they, you know, Grayson Allen had a great game for them. They rode Grayson Allen. Taylor Jenkins is willing to do that, but the Valanciunas change was significant there. Valanciunas, well, here's the problem with trying to guard Morant, and I think the Jazz made some changes in this ballgame that are worth watching. So Valanciunas is the problem in guarding Morant. If you leave Valanciunas at all, he's such a beast that he just takes advantage of it and makes the next play. So when the Jazz in the third quarter started getting beat up by Valanciunas, Rudy was leaving his body to come try to alter shooters that were coming into the lane. And the minute you do that, Valanciunas is now either getting such deep position that they can pass in the ball so deep you can't defend him, or he's getting an offensive rebound, put back, and scoring on it. And he is really a massive problem for the Jazz. And a lot of Ja Morant's plays all stem to that. What's happening in a lot of this is the Jazz are going under on the Morant pick. Morant then has the momentum coming in. Conley's supposed to try to get in front of him. Even if Conley does get back in front of Morant at 6 feet tall, it doesn't really bother Morant a great deal. And so in turn, the next thing that happens is Gobert has to stay all the way back with Valanciunas because Valanciunas is such a beast and Morant gets an easy shot. Now, Morant is shooting 44% when Rudy Gobert is on the floor and 68% when Rudy Gobert is off the floor. I don't think we're going to alter our patterns to have Gobert match Morant, but that number is pretty interesting. The Jazz are plus 35 when Gobert and Morant are on the floor, and minus 13 when Morant is on the floor without Gobert right now. So again, 44% shooting for Morant when Gobert is on the floor, and 68% shooting when Gobert is off the floor. 15 of 22 when Gobert is off the floor in this series right now is, and that's, you know, the other thing to give Morant credit, he's just terrific, is Morant's tendency is he wants to go right to left. If you have not been listening to Locked On Jazz all week and not heard this, we have the numbers on what Morant does based on where he is on the floor, and we'll pull him up in the playoffs here in a second. I haven't actually looked at him. It'll be interesting to do together. So when Morant gets in deep on the left, on the right side of the floor, he's just 4 of 17. And you'll watch him. He'll get over to the right side of the floor. He doesn't want to take that shot. He threw a jump pass out another time, terminated a dribble another time. If he gets to the left side of the floor, he's taken 64 shots. So right side, he took 17, made just 4 during the regular season. If he can get over to the left side, outside the paint, 8 feet out, he's about 30 of 64, 50% on the left side. He's taken 120 of his shots in the middle. He's 47 of 120. So what is that? That's about 45%. And so when you see those numbers, the Jazz did a nice job early in the game of trying to force Morant over to the right side of the floor. And they got him there a few times early in the game. And it was kind of clear that bothered him. Morant, to his credit, then just switched up, started coming up the left side of the floor, and made a bunch of plays going left to right. I mean, what can't he do? It was really pretty awesome to see him make that kind of an adjustment when, you know, you're a second-year player in your first playoffs, and they're beginning to get a scouting report on you, and you're gone from taking 15 shots to 23 shots. You're clearly pushing, and he's got an answer. So far in this series, he's 3 of 6 on the left side. He's 9 of 16 on the kind of long two, and he's 1 of 1 on the right side. So it's the same, you know, concept of what you're seeing out of him during the regular season. He's been able to get, but he's really largely in the middle of the lane. He's 19 of 31 inside of about 8 feet in this series, and they're mostly on the left side of the floor, which is, you know, he's wildly impressive. I don't know what else to say about him. In the regular season, he shot inside 5 feet. He shot 58%. He's shooting 62% here. His 5 to 9 foot shooting in the playoffs is 65%. It was only 38% in the playoffs. I do think that number has to come down. His 8 to 16 footer, which we're not forcing him to 8 feet very often, was at 41% in the regular season. And in the playoffs, his 8 to 16 feet is at 57%. Again, that seemingly would have to come back a little bit here and calm things down. And so, you know, guarding him, he's showing everything. The one thing I would say on guarding him that's interesting to me late there is that on the last two possessions, yes, that's a home phone that's ringing for no particular reason. On the last two possessions, he did a really masterful job, or Conley did a masterful job of getting over the top on Morant. And I think you'll see a little bit more of that, because if he can be over the top, that's the way you force him to 8 feet instead of getting inside 8 feet and maybe forcing him to shoot a little further out and a little more off rhythm. You do risk some foul trouble doing it that way, and the Jazz want to keep him off the foul line. You cannot give him 20 free throws. All right, I have hit all of my big stories. Pace, Morant coming from everywhere, Grayson and Ja forcing him to defend, the adjustments I think Memphis will make with their rotation, the power of Jonas Valanciunas, and the effort. Those are my five biggest stories. We'll now break down just my random thoughts that I had throughout the game. We'll run it chronologically and share those with you as we get you ready for game four tonight, 7:30, big one. The rest of the West is nuts. Anthony Davis likely out for game five. Can he come back and be healthy enough for the Lakers to win two straight against Phoenix if they lose? Or are the Lakers going to be done in the first round? Clippers look strong again. Can they and Dallas go to seven? Can the Jazz shorten this up so that they can get some rest while those two pound each other? Oh, would that be absolutely fabulous if that was the case. Today's show is brought to you by Indeed. If you're in the market to be hiring, this job site makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed's Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skill tests that are on average reduce hiring by 27%. So right now, for the free $75 sponsored job credit, go to Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit to upgrade your job placement at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar. I got a very special treat in the mail from Built Bar, which is a future flavor. There's more exciting new flavors coming. Right now, it's got their basic 9, coconut almond, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, peanut brownie, coconut, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. It's called a tease in the business, by the way. I don't know if I'm allowed to share. I don't know what our rules are, whether we're allowed to share when we get this special preview item of Built Bar. I'm gonna have it when we're done here in a second. I'll be able to tell you what it's like. It's exciting. Anyway, Built Bar tastes like you're cheating because it's like a candy bar that is a protein bar, and like life just got tastier. What can I say? With only 180 calories, 19 grams of protein, and 5 grams of sugar, the peanut butter brownie bar is to die for. Or maybe it's double chocolate, only 130 calories and 17 grams of protein and still only 4 grams of sugar. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKED gets you 15% off. It's BuiltBar.com. All right, here are my random notes. And I'm just going to run down the list. Donovan was playing off Anderson a little bit more. The Jazz were clogging space a little bit, helping off Anderson more than I've seen. Space and pace early, I wrote big keys. Royce O'Neal was great early in this game, but not just making threes with his aggressiveness, making the right plays. There's a play where he drives the basket and doesn't score, but it's super important because of the fact that he, you know, that's the kind of play that opens things up later in the day. So I thought that was very much important. They're making Durant defend. They hit him on Bogey for a while. Or Morant, making Morant defend. I talked about Morant coming left to right instead of right to left. Precision passing. Quinn Snyder talked about precision passing. Jazz passing early in this game was very, very good. I did a Twitter thread of this game at DLock09 on Twitter. There's a play. Rudy's running in transition is vital. Let's see. What did I write there? Memphis always goes back to baseline in, Yeah, so I scribbled writing and it didn't make any sense to me. I don't know what that is. Sorry, that one doesn't make sense. We actually started sliding back in that open side pick and roll that we blitzed Memphis with during the regular season. I thought we integrated that back into the lineup and started making plays out of that. Mike Conley hit Rudy Gobert for a dunk. That still seems to be a staple. Memphis has had some defensive answers, I think, very specifically ready for that in game one, pushing to the sideline. And the Jazz, I thought, did a nice job of kind of making some adjustments on that. The off-the-bounce three-point shot, we've talked about this a lot. It is wide open for the Jazz in this series. The off-the-bounce three-point shot, particularly from the top, it's the longest shot. Memphis is willing to give it to the Jazz. And you know what? At some point, when someone's willing to give it to you and you're good, you just have to make it. And so far in this series, a bunch of our guys are not making it. Donovan is the one in the regular season who made it. But right now, Mike Conley has made it. He's 8 of 16. Jordan Clarkson's 3 of 13. Donovan's 5 of 12. Boyan's 3 of 8, Joe's 3 of 5. That's gonna win you games. That collection of those five guys shooting like that, and Clarkson getting a little better, though Jordan has not been good at that shot since All-Star break, will win you games. That game is there. Donovan Mitchell is simply not bothered by Jonas Valanciunas. He has a wiggle. We talked about it in our notes coming into the series. We had the note for you. If you, hopefully you listen to Locked On Jazz a lot, because a lot of these are reconfirming and you actually already know these. But we had the note for you coming into the series that when Donovan's involved in the pick and roll with Jonas Valanciunas, it has not been a problem. The Jazz averaged 1.3 points per pick and roll where Jonas was the big and Jazz and Donovan had the ball in the regular season. I think that number's got to be very similar right now in the playoffs, as that is not something that bothers him. Playing aggressively, I wrote. That's that early shot clock thing. Third quarter, Valanciunas kills us. It's anytime Rudy left contact with him. Jazz got an open side pick and roll again. Brooks really overhelping, I wrote down. You know, one thing we're just probably forget about a little bit, Donovan just making plays. We can talk about all the X's and O's and all the other stuff, but like about 5-6 times in this game, Donovan just made a play. And that's probably the difference between winning and losing, frankly. And that is, you know, that is really Donovan. Just that's the excellence and the elite play that you have to win playoff games. I am utterly convinced that Donovan has done massive film study on Dylan Brooks and has owned him in the series because of it. Jazz leaving Anderson on pick and roll defense. Look for that more and more. Jazz were up by 8 when Royce got his fourth foul. Felt like a really big thing. One thing the Jazz did do, and I'll see, is they played favors up on the pick and roll, and it led to back-to-back wide-open threes by Desmond Bain and Grayson Allen. I'm not sure that's the answer. We had our weak side guy come down, and Ja Morant made the perfect read on it. I'm as concerned about Ja Morant as a passer as I am as a scorer. I think I would like to see Ja Morant take 26 shots, go to the free throw line 6 or fewer times, and I think we'll be fine. We made Grayson effort. Allen played a ton of defense, but I actually didn't think he was awful, to his credit. And then late in the game, we just made a ton of plays. You know, great effort. Our effort picked up late. I do feel like this game has swung on effort. This series has swung on effort. I do think we've outplayed them. Tyson Ewing had a great stat that in the last two games since Donovan's been there, we've led for 89 of the possible 96 minutes. The game's been tied for 3 minutes and 45. It starts that way, by the way. And Memphis has led for 2 minutes and 41 seconds in two games in which Donovan has played. It's a great note from Tyson. Gobert's pick setting, I did it on the thread at DLock09 on Twitter, is unbelievable and just opens up so many things. Conley got over on those two picks late on Ja Morant, and he missed both those shots. And then finally, Conley got a massively big rebound. So I think just a bunch of notes there. Hopefully that is an enjoyable 30 minutes for you to take the time to listen to this and hear all those thoughts. The big thing, pace early. Can we get back to taking those early threes? We've nailed them. We're at 50% on threes in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock in this series. We're verging at around 35% otherwise. Can we get those early threes? Can we get back to getting 28 shots instead of 21 shots a game in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock? I think that's massive. Watch Conley, whether it goes over on Morant more often and whether he can stay out of foul trouble while doing that. I think that would be vital. Watch where and who the Grizzlies match up with starting in the ballgame. And then Valanciunas is just a beast. I just don't think we can be leaving him to deal with the little shots. You know, you're picking your poison to start. You were right with what you chose to pick your poison as. And I think, you know, you continue to be right with that. And if Ja Morant shoots it 26 times and goes 17 of 26 on mostly 2-point shots and doesn't go the free and goes 5 of 6 of the free throw line, and they beat us, tip your hat and go win game 5. That is Locked On Jazz. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.